For the scripture reading this morning, turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. All right, out of respect for the word of God, let's all stand together. And look there at verse 25. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
Thank you, Brother Chandler. The strongest love this world has ever known was Calvary love. This is the love whereby God gave his Son. This is the love that Jesus displayed countless times throughout his ministry, helping the helpless, loving the unlovely. This is the love that led Jesus to present himself in Jerusalem as our Passover, knowing that he'd be betrayed and suffer and die in our place. This is the love that held him to the cross for 6 lonely hours as he suffered, bled, and died for our sins. I want to talk to you about Calvary love. Jesus said it this way in John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now in Ephesians 5, we read a pointed commandment. I could have chosen any of scores of verses for our text today, but since it's Valentine's Day and all the wives tell me that their husbands could use some encouragement, I'm just kidding, they haven't said anything. I can just tell. But Ephesians 5:25 tells us that as husbands, we're to love our wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. See, Christ loved the church with Calvary love. And as a husband, I'm to love my wife even as Christ loved the church. How much did Christ love the church? So much that he was willing to give himself for it. Would you die for your wife? Do you even have to stop and hesitate or think about it? See, I would hope that I at the bottom of my heart, my convictions, that I would die for my wife without one split second's hesitation. Because I love my wife and I'd be willing to die in her place. Would I die for my children? Would I have to think about it? No, sir, I'd die for any of my children without a moment's thought or a moment's hesitation. Would I die for Brother Camp? Well, give me some time to think about that one, but the point is that Jesus loved the church and was willing to give himself for it. A preacher's daughter started dating some guy in Bible college. It got serious and he came to ask her dad's permission to get married. The preacher father looked him in the eye and said, "Son, would you be willing to die for my daughter?" The young man said, "Oh, yes." "Good," said the preacher, "because that's how a man should love his wife, as Christ loved the church and willing to give himself for it. And also because if you ever mistreat her, I will kill you. So just make sure you're ready to die for my daughter." The greatest love the world has ever known is Calvary love. The love that was seen on the cross. Let us have this Calvary love in our Christian homes again. Let us have this Calvary love in our Christian marriages again. You know, just because two people who say they're Christians get married doesn't mean that they have a Christian marriage. Any more than just because people say they're Christians in the home doesn't mean that they have a Christian home. Two people getting married who both say they are saved doesn't mean that their marriage is a God-honoring marriage or their home is a God-honoring home. I'm convinced that many professing Christians have families and marriages that are run by exactly the same kind of principles and lifestyles as unsaved people. Almost no difference whatsoever between them and their unsaved relatives or them and the unsaved world around them. You know, you've got to put a lot into a Christian marriage to make it a Christian marriage. It takes both spouses living a Christian life to make a Christian home. Now, the relationship of a husband to his wife should provide a glimpse of the relationship to Christ and the church. If our homes do not have a good testimony, this reflects poorly on Jesus. If our homes do not have a good testimony, if our marriages do not have a good testimony with our children, then our children grow up with a wrong idea about Christ and the church. And I'm convinced that many who grow up and end up out of church with no desire to go to church at all, is at least part of the problem is they didn't see a Christian marriage or Christian home when they were away from church. We need to be serious about having Calvary love in our homes again, but not just in our homes. For Jesus said in John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." That means that I am to love you the way that Jesus loves you. You're to love each other the way Jesus loves each of you. Wouldn't that transform a church or transform a family or transform relationships if we had that kind of Calvary love towards each other? Calvary love is good for brothers and sisters. You know, there's no rule that says you have to be like Cain and Abel in your home. You can get along with your brothers and sisters if you try. And many a home would be a lot happier if the brothers and sisters would quit squabbling with each other and act like Christians. Fighting and bickering and name-calling and holding grudges and not talking to each other for days at a time. That's not how Christians behave. And parents, if we want our kids to be Christians, let's emphasize them actually acting like Christians at home and not just on their best behavior at church. Calvary love is good for parents and their children. Many parents don't seem to love their kids. Their kids rate very low on their priority scale. Work and this and that and hobbies and me, and then finally the kids are in there somewhere. But if you'd love your children the way God loves His children, you'd see a difference made in your family. How about Calvary love is good for children towards their parents? Well, my parents aren't perfect. Well, guess what? No one has children that are perfect or parents that are perfect. And, you know, the fact is your parents might have been a lot better off until you came along and messed them up. I'm teasing. But sometimes people are very unforgiving towards their parents because all they can see is their flaws and failures. Well, one day your kids are going to see your flaws and failures too. Because everyone has them. Calvary love from children to their parents, from parents to their children, and brothers to their sisters, and towards each other, and inside the church. You know, I read an ancient history written by an unbeliever who said that the churches of the first century were marked by two things. Number one, their faith in Jesus as Christ. And number two, their love for each other. He said the early Christian assemblies were known for their unswavering faith in Christ, even willing to die for His name's sake. And in their assemblies, there was an unmistakable love for each other that was seen even by unbelievers who visited their assemblies. When Jesus said we're to love one another, even as He loved us. And then Calvary love can even extend to those who don't like you. Now, I know everyone likes you. Can you believe some people don't like me? And some people are just not very nice. And but Luke in Luke 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them which curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." So He said, even in the lowest possible relationship of even with those who hate me and curse me and blaspheme and use me despitefully and would spit upon me, my lowest level relationship, I'm still supposed to have love towards that person. And that's the hard one. That's where it takes God's love in us. That's something an unsaved person can't have, but God's love in us to love people even when they're abusing us and mistreating us. You see, Calvary love is something that is supernatural. You don't expect to see it in a person who's not been born again, but too few born again people really evidence it. Calvary love in our marriages, Calvary love in our child rearing, Calvary love in our parenting, Calvary love in dealing with our parents, Calvary love with our siblings, Calvary love with our grandparents, Calvary love with our neighbors, Calvary love with our step-parents, Calvary love with our co-workers, Calvary love inside the church, Calvary love with other Christians. I mean, how would it change our lives if that kind of love was actually evidenced in us and in our relationships? I want you to notice with me this morning just three aspects of Calvary love. Three aspects of Calvary love. Number one, Calvary love is extreme. Calvary love is extreme. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. that he would willingly lay down his life. It's not an accident. He has made the decision to lay down his life for his friends. Only an extreme love would cause a man to do that. When a soldier throws himself on a grenade to save his brothers in arms, we call it heroic. We give him a Medal of Honor posthumously after his death. We recognize the extreme nature of that kind of sacrifice that a man would risk dismemberment or death to save those around him. We recognize that's something that's extreme. Amen? When we look at Jesus and the cross, we realize that no one ever loved more than Jesus did. His love was extreme. He didn't just die for those he loved. The Bible says he died for those who did not love him. He didn't just, those that he loved. Of course, he loves us all. But he didn't just die for those who loved him back. He didn't die for the righteous, he died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the obedient, he died for the disobedient. He didn't die for those who were seeking his truth. He died for every sinner, whether they seek his truth or not. He died for those of us who got saved. But what amazes me is he died for those who will never get saved because they choose not to get saved, but he died for them anyway. That's an extreme love. That's Calvary love. No one ever loved like Jesus did. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. It's not that he looked down. Why should God love us? Why should God think of us any more than we think of bugs? Seriously. Here's God, high and lifted up, inhabiting eternity, holy, without even the shadow of turning. Why should he care about us as part of his creation any more than we care about little bugs crawling around on the ground? We're a bunch of reprobates. We're a bunch of wickedness in us. We are constantly going away from him. We're constantly disobedient to his word. We're constantly unrighteous in our actions. We're constantly dirty in our minds. And yet God looks down at us and loves us. Wouldn't you agree with me that that is an extreme love? That God would love us. We love Him because He first loved us. His love is an extreme love. The love of the cross is an extreme love. Consider the extreme measurements. In Ephesians 3 it says that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. The breadth, length, depth, and height of the love of Christ. Consider it. What is the breadth? How broad is Calvary love? For God so loved the world. The whole world. That's amazing to me. That he didn't just, this was a new revelation. The Jews thought that God loved them, but they didn't think God loved anybody else. And for Jesus to come down from heaven and reveal to us that God didn't just love the Jews, He didn't just love the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but that God so loved the whole wide world that He gave His Son. How broad is His love? Broad enough for you and I to fit in. And so, how broad was it? How long was it? The length. How long is Calvary love? In Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. You never have to wonder if God got tired of you and stopped loving you. People, their love waxes cold. Am I right? People, they love you today and in a year from now, I just don't feel as strongly about it as I used to. You don't have to worry about that with God. One day people are singing your praises, the next day they're condemning you. You don't have to worry about that with God. One day a man standing at a wedding altar and he's saying, I'll love you till death, do I part? And 20 years later he's saying, no, I don't love you anymore, I'm going after this 20-year younger woman. You don't have to worry about God doing that with you. God's love, the length of it, is an everlasting love. It began before the world was started. It'll continue on throughout all the ages of eternity. God's love, the length of it, is an everlasting love. It's an extreme love, isn't it? How about the depth of God's love? How deep is Calvary's love? Well, it's as deep as the deepest sin. Paul said that he was the chief of sinners, and that his salvation was proof that God could save anyone, anywhere, anytime. The depth of his love. And I'm thankful because some people have a hard enough time even liking sometimes, much less loving. But you know, God was willing to go from the uttermost to the guttermost to find us where we were and to save us. That's how extreme his love was, the depth of Calvary's love. How about the height of Calvary's love? How high is Calvary love? Well, Ephesians 2 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. That God not only found us in the depths of our sin, but He saved us by His grace and exalts us to sit with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. Not just as His servants, but as His children. The height of Calvary's love. Would you agree with me that this is an extreme love? Now, what are the measurements of your love? If we measured the breadth of your love, the length of your love, the depth of your love, the height of your love, how's your love for God on this Valentine's Day morning? Is your love for God broad? How far will it take you? How high does it lift you? How deep will you go? Is it a shallow, selfish, narrow love? Or do you have a love for God that is broad and deep and high and long because you have a genuine love for Christ that keeps getting deeper as the years go by? How about your love for your spouse? How deep is it? A lot of folks are shallow. How deep is your love for your spouse? How long will it go? My parents have been coming up on their 50th anniversary. And with all their health problems and all their issues they've dealt with, I can't imagine one being apart from the other because they love each other so deeply. How is our love? Many Christians have a love that is very narrow, shallow, short-term, and earthbound. It is not the kind of Calvary love that God wants us to have. It's a selfish kind of love. Not at the extreme Calvary love that Jesus said we should evidence. Ask yourself, what kind of love do you have for others? Boy, some, their love fits in just where their family is. They love only their family, not interested in anybody else. For some, they're interested only in themselves. Some, they love their spouse, but there are actually people who love their spouse but don't love their kids. It ought to be broader than that. I'm telling you that our love ought to be more like Christ's love for us. It was an extreme love that Jesus showed when He suffered and died on the cross for us. He loved the church and He gave Himself for it. You and I would never have that kind of love if it's shallow, selfish, self-centered, me first, what are you going to do for me? That kind of attitude is not the kind of attitude that Jesus had when He loved us. Calvary love is an extreme love. It needs to go a little more extreme sometimes with us. Number two, Calvary love is expressed. Calvary love is expressed. Now let me stop. Time out. Notice some of you shivering. Is it too cold in here for you? How many of you are cold? How many of you are hot? How many of you are lukewarm? Brother Park, since you're back there, would you mind turning the air conditioners off? It'll still circulate, but it'll... All right. See, I'm on your side. All right. Calvary love is expressed. In other words, God has not bashfully waited for us to show an interest in Him. Let me tell you something, guys. One day when you grow up and get a girlfriend, you can't sit around waiting for her to come to you. You got to express your interest in her. As long as she's not related to me, you're fine. God does not bashfully wait for us to show an interest in Him. He has expressed His love for us in ways that we can understand and appreciate. Now let's get real practical this morning. My wife and I recently took an online test. It's not one of those stupid little which of the seven dwarfs are you kind of test, but how many of you heard of the five love languages? All right, Gary Chapman wrote a book about it. I haven't read the book, but I know what the five love languages are. And we took this test online to see what our individual love language is. In other words, what love language means is, you know, that different people express their love in different ways. And some people appreciate love in different ways. For example, let me just give you the five. Acts of service. Some people, they show their love by doing something for you. And when you do something for them, they feel loved. Some, physical touch. Some people like to hug. I'm not a hugger. Some people love to hug, or maybe just a pat on the shoulder. You know, they're always, you know, they like physical touch. Words of affirmation. They like to hear, I love you. You're pretty. You're a great husband. They need that. They need to hear words of affirmation. Some, through quality time. I want to spend time with you. That's the best way I can show you that I love you, is I'm spending my time with you. Or you'll spend time with me. That's how you show me that you love me. And the fifth is by receiving gifts. I show you that I love you because I bought you something. Why are you just trying to buy my love? Well, not always. Sometimes that's just how people talk. That's how they express their love. I took my money and I bought something because I was thinking about you, and here's a gift. I got it because I love you. All you ever want to do is buy something for me. I need this other. I need words of affirmation. And sometimes in a marriage, you have people that are speaking. It's like one is speaking German, Auf Wiedersehen, and the other one is speaking Swedish. I don't know any Swedish. Would you like a Belgian waffle? That's the only. Did I just fail at language? And so they're speaking two different languages, and they're not communicating. And sometimes you got a husband. He says, I love my wife, but man, I do acts of service. I work hard to provide for her, and I come home at night, and I don't go goof off with the guys, and I help around the house, and I do acts of service. And the wife's like, yeah, but I want to hold hands, and I want to hug, and I want to smooch. And we did that, you know, now we're married, and we don't smooch anymore. And the husband says, I spend my time with you. I could be doing other things, but I spend quality time with my kids because I want to show them that I love them. And the kid's like, well, I don't want to go fishing. I don't want to go throw a football around. But they don't understand the dad's just trying to show his love by spending time with them. And so anyway, we took this test to see what our love languages are. And no great shock. Ours are totally inverted from each other. My number one was like her number five. And her number one was like my number four or six or something. Six, five. Mine, you know, you get out of 12. My number one was 11 out of 12, so it's the predominant. She had like three that were close together, so there's three different ways I can show her love and be pretty close. Mine was words of affirmation. I guess I have low self-esteem. But I like for my wife to tell me she's proud of me. Means something to me. May not mean much to you, but it means a lot to me. I don't know why. That's wimpy. I don't care if you think I'm wimpy. I'm just telling you what this test said. Hers was acts of service, with a couple others right close to that. So doing something for her means a lot to her. And so that was educational. After 20 years, we figured some things out. Amen. So, on Valentine's Day, since Brother Camp already bragged about what he did for his wife, for Valentine's Day, on Friday, I cleaned the house. My dad was a Navy officer. I know how to get things shipshape. Cleaned the house, kitchen, and cabinets, floors. I didn't do the kids' room because I was by myself. And you don't go into their rooms unless there's at least one other partner there who can get you if you get lost. Tie a rope around your waist, you know, just in case. Someone has to be a survivor to go tell the others. And I cleaned the house for her, and then I made her an Italian feast. Now, I can cook a few things, okay? No chef, unless you count Boyardee, but I cook a few things. So I made spaghetti with almost homemade spaghetti sauce, with grilled vegetables and hamburger meat. And Italian sausages. See, roses, Italian sausages. Come on now. And when they got home, I had dinner at the table set, Italian music playing over Spotify on my phone, attached to my Bluetooth soundbar, so it sounded like we were in a real Italian restaurant. You say, what did you get? I got a best husband of the year button. But what matters is I was showing my wife and my kids by acts of service that I love them. Now, they shouldn't expect that every week. They may never expect that again. But I'm just pointing out that if that's her language, then I want to show her in her language that I love her. And wouldn't it be something if all of us had a little badge and said, this is how I want to be loved. So we'd all know. Words of affirmation. Hey, you did great in the choir this morning. Really, I could hear you singing. Chris, no choir person wants to know that they could hear them singing, but you did a great special today. Oh, thanks. Words of affirmation. Acts of service. Let me get that for you. Let me help you with that. Thank you. That makes me feel loved. Receiving gifts. Hey, I was thinking about you. I picked this up on the way home. Oh, thank you. Oh, you thought of me? You see, it's important for us to learn to love each other and understand each other's love. You know, I think back to when I was a kid. I have a good dad. I started to say I had a good dad like when I was a kid, but he's still alive. I have a good dad. I love my dad. My dad deserved a better son than me. My dad deserved a son like I have. But we weren't in church. I didn't have the kind of influences in my life that would point to me in that. So anyway, I look back now and I realize how my dad tried to show his love for me. My dad would buy model airplane kits. And we would put them together. But since my dad is a perfectionist and the model airplane had to be perfect, doing it together meant he put it together and I watched. And for a while I looked back on that and I thought, man, you know, it kind of stunk. I didn't really have fun with it. Dad just wanted to do it. He wouldn't let me help. And I looked at it from a very immature point of view. But now I look at it and I say, you know what? My dad was 35 years old and didn't need to be putting any model airplane together. He was doing it because he wanted to show his son that he was going to spend time with him. My dad loved baseball. I never have liked baseball. We used to go to the Tidewater Tides games. That's a AAA like the Frisco Rough Riders in Norfolk, Virginia. And we'd go see the Tidewater Tides. I'd be bored to death. I wouldn't even act like I was interested. I'm just a brat. Wouldn't even act like I cared. And I look back and I think Dad was simply trying to do something with his son to show his love by spending time. But I was too selfish as a kid to appreciate his love. See, this kind of Calvary love is expressed. Now, I'm going somewhere with that because now I want to look at how God has shown His love for us. All right? Has God expressed His love in a way that touches the hearts of all mankind? How about receiving gifts? For God so loved the world, He gave. That God loves you so much that He gave His Son. That God loves you so much that He wants to give you heaven. That He wants to give you eternal life. If you're someone that sees love as receiving a gift, then God has offered you the greatest gift that could ever be offered. He's offered you His Son and He's offered you heaven as a free gift. How about quality time? Didn't Jesus spend 33 and a half years on this earth? Could He have done it in a shorter time? I don't know. That was God's plan. So that in 33 and a half years He could be our sympathetic high priest and show us His love for us. By spending 3.5 years ministering to people, and He saw the great crowds that came to Him, and He was willing to give of His time every moment of every day trying to help others because He was showing His love for us through quality time. How about through physical touch? Hey, before Jesus was born, no one could touch God. Think about it. God was the high and holy one that inhabited eternity. But through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, He became man and lived among us. And John said, our eyes have seen and our hands have handled. Don't you know John was the kind who liked physical touch? I think John was the loving disciple. You find John leaning against Jesus at the Last Supper. And John, I believe, it impacted his heart most that God would take upon Himself flesh so that they could touch Him and see Him and hear Him and know Him as a person. How about acts of service? Look at Jesus and His ministry. He didn't hide on a mountaintop and wait for people to come to Him, but rather day after day was out among the people serving and helping and healing and being moved with compassion. And at the end, He even took upon Himself the form of a servant and washed their dirty feet. And right before that, it says, having loved His own, He loved them to the end. and by that act of service showed His love for them. How about words of affirmation? Doesn't God tell us that He loves us? Doesn't He give us firm promises about salvation? Doesn't He give us some plain statements about my relationship to Him? I never have to worry if I'm still a child of God any more than I worry if I'm the son of James Adair Raspberry Jr. I know that I am. And I know that I'm God's child because He's affirmed that through the words of the Scripture. And I thank God for His precious promises that give me comfort and hope and show His particular love for me as a person. Aren't you glad God loves us in so many different ways? God's love is extreme. God's love is expressed. Is your love expressed? Tell your spouse, I love you. Write it on a card. Send it in a text. Ah, it's mushy. Well, be mushy. You married a woman, right? You didn't marry a man. I know it's legal now, but you still see anyone in this room that would do that. Tell your spouse you love them. Tell your children you love them. One of the saddest things of the last generation was so many young people, maybe the last couple of generations, so many young people said that as adults, I never heard my dad say, I love you. That ought not be. And so many of them have gone the other way. I love you every day. And maybe kids don't appreciate that. But you need to tell your children that you love them and show them that you love them. And tell them over and show them over and over again. One guy told his wife, I told you I love you once. If I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. That's not how you're supposed to be as a Christian husband. No. Express your love over and over again. Never let it get cold. Never let it get disinterested. Tell God you love Him. I pray all the time in church, and one of the first things I always say, oh God, we love you, because I do love Him. I want God to know that I love Him. And you ought to express your love for God. Don't be afraid to say, I love you, God. And so express your love for your parents. One day they'll be gone. Express your love for your parents and your grandparents and those in your life. Express your love. Be like God. God expresses His love, and His love is an extreme love. And then finally, and I'm done, Calvary love is extended. The love of Jesus Christ extends to you this morning. It reaches all the way from the right hand of God the Father to where you're sitting in your pew. And it's a nail-scarred hand that reaches out to you with the offer of salvation if you've never been saved. He offers you His gift of love and eternal life. If all you'll simply do is receive Him, turn from your sin, repent toward God, and put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you shall be saved.